Our gospel for today comes to us from the 21st chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus entered into Jerusalem in triumph, what we normally celebrate on Palm Sunday. He goes immediately to the temple and ends up being challenged repeatedly by the chief priests, the scribes, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, challenged about what authority he has. And he responds to them with a couple of parables. This one is the last parable he said to them. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time came, he sent the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces and will crush anyone on whom it falls." Now, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Very different tenor than the one a couple weeks ago when Jesus was talking about the workers in the vineyard and God's grace that was given to all equally, and a God who kept coming into the marketplace, constantly recruiting, constantly seeking, constantly finding. This is aimed at a different group. Now, there's a lot of interesting jobs out in the world today. You know, sometimes people go, "Well, I don't want to work." Well, sometimes it's people who don't want to work for certain employers. I have a friend of mine who got hired at a bicycle company. He's the spokesperson. Another friend complains about his job in a sausage-making shop because every day is Groundhog Day. And one other friend had some difficulty. He went to work at the mint. He was responsible for helping them make coins, but it quickly lost the job because he couldn't make heads or tails of it. So, do we make heads or tails of what Jesus is telling us today? Or is it kind of like Groundhog Day all over again? I mean, he's only been telling us these things for about 2,000 years. We've got it down pat now, right? If only. A frequent question in life is, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my job, my role? Asked and answered. Isn't that nice? Some people wait for a call from God for years, and some just happens right away. And sometimes God keeps calling and we go, that's got to be a spam number. But God does give us a job. God does give us a role. We have a purpose. But it's often not what we think it is. We're in the vineyard. God comes to us again and again, no matter when. He calls us to work in the vineyard. To do what? To bear the fruit. That's it. The vineyard is created. The arrangement is set. As we heard last week when we were celebrating the blessing of the animals, God created the heavens and the earth and the waters and the air and the dry land and created all these animals and plants and birds and fish, and it was good. It's set. Our job is to live within this and bear the fruit. The sad fact is, it seems like at least Christians in the United States especially are known more for being religious nuts than bearing fruit. I want you to think about what it means to bear fruits. These are the fruits of the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How are you doing on those? There's a job description. That's basically. How are you doing with that? Now, does this sound a little bit more familiar? Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Does that sound a little bit more familiar? Some of them we might look at and go, licentiousness, you know, that kind of stuff. Enmities, bearing grudges, jealousy, like those other workers in the vineyards who were jealous over how others were treated just like they were, with kindness, envy, strife, dissensions. The job description of a Christian has nothing to do with a bumper sticker with a fish on its tail of the car or a cross wearing around your neck or in your earring. It has to do with love, joy, kindness, patience, peace, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. Notice they're all aimed inward. But all of these things that are aimed inward for reflection are meant not as a sense of going, oh, here's my checklist. Oh, look, I'm good. I'm even better. Oh, look it, I'm all the way at the bottom. I'm 7 for 7. Woohoo! I'm going to be first in line. Jesus goes, and the first shall be last. Ah, oh, darn it. Again. Saying, oh, look at how good I am and buff my resume. This is not about looking at yourself in reflection and going, how am I doing? And using it then again as a comparison over someone else, because that's envy and jealousy and dissensions and all that kind of fun stuff. If someone looks at you and sees you at work, sees you in your neighborhood, sees you online, what will they say you're doing? Are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit or acting like a religious nut? And the sad fact is, oftentimes we're so darn afraid of being joyful and being compassionate and showing generosity and things like that, that people might think negatively of you, okay? Let's face it, folks. There is zero you can do to control someone else's reaction to you. But if you act like a jerk and they think you're a jerk, you've earned the title. If you act with love, and it's truly with love, and people think you're a jerk about it, that's on them. But are we paying attention to the fruit we're doing? That this is our calling in life. It's not about filling slots or checking boxes. It's not about, you know, attaining something. Notice in that list of spiritual fruits, there's nothing about perfection. There's all of these things that are called. Actually, if we think about all these things, wouldn't life be a lot nicer? I don't know, but there seems to be an epidemic of me having to tell people, peace be with you. Normally because that's the last thing they feel. And we as the church, and this is where Jesus comes in and looks at us, is this what we're about? Do we proclaim good news? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, all these things. Are we that kind of a source? And knowing, again, we're not right, folks. Again, there's nothing in the list that says perfection. But are we seeking to bear that fruit? Are we tending the vines? Because in a very real sense, that parable holds true. Fruit problems are root problems. What are we tied to? Where are we getting our material from? What are we connected to? What are we sucking into ourselves? Because what we think on grows. What we fixate on becomes the center of who we are. What we believe is what we see. Those things that we connect ourselves down to, what are we connecting to? And oftentimes it's shown by what comes out. I'm sure you've all participated in some way or saw a kid, you know, or even saw it in just a bouquet of flowers. All the things you can do with white carnations and a little bit of food coloring in the water. How all of a sudden that white carnation ends up because of what it was put in. In a world that seems to live off of envy and jealousy and anger and dissension, how might we be a sign of love, joy, peace, all of generosity? And again, that's for us. That's for us to contemplate, us to consider. Because God created this vineyard. And made it good. And God grabs you and says, and you belong here. You have something of value to offer because you are mine. You are here. What can we do? And that's for each and every one of us to consider in our vocations, in our walk with God's, in the places where God places us and the people God puts in our midst, in our vicinity. But then, no matter what, how we do it, or the practical things that we do with our lives, do we do it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Whatever we do. It doesn't matter where we are working, what we are doing, if we're volunteering on the streets, in the schools, on the, you know, in our neighborhoods. Are we doing that? And Jesus would call us and say, would just go, are you letting your light shine? Let's put it that way. this light that you received from him. Out of the grace that was given from him. And it's hard, isn't it? It's very hard when things keep coming at you. And yet, we somehow, no matter what, continue to survive and thrive. Do you see that? Do you believe that? Because in the parable, Jesus tells them, he tells the story about how the sun comes. And the people go, this is the heir. We kill him, we get the inheritance. Well, guess what, folks? We did take the heir. We did take him out of the vineyard. We did kill him. And he didn't stay dead. Just like in the other parable where the Lord keeps going into the marketplace and keeps calling people throughout the day to come and work in his vineyard, even if we were to kill that one, he would still come back again and again and again, because this is what God does. Because God doesn't give up. And reminds us in this power of new life that the worst things are never the last things. No matter how much fornication and impurity and licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. That's a heck of a list, isn't it? But no matter about that, he comes again. And says, yeah, and now there's new life. Plant again. Try again. Live again. Because I give you my spirit. I continue to come. Because I love you. And so I want you to remember your baptism. You repeat after me these promises God gave you. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. So no matter where you were planted before, may that remind you where you are planted now. No matter what before, may you know that that promise is yours still. No matter how badly you thought it went, that promise still comes, and those gifts of the Spirit are still given to you. And remember that God loves you, and so do I.